Hello, farmers, and welcome to another fantastic episode of The Harvest Season. My name is Rochelle.
And my name is Al.
And we're here today to talk about farming games.
Woo!
Woo. Everyone's favorite.
We love farming games.
Mm-hmm. We got an exciting, easy episode for y'all today. We're going to talk about some feedback. We're going to talk about what we've been playing. You know this. You know this. We do this. We've done this 20 times now. We've got this down. We're going to do everyone's favorite section, the news. And then we're going to talk about our main topic today, which is another installment in our exciting series of games in the future that we're looking forward to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Future games.
That was a much better explanation than I was imagining in my head.
Well, what were you thinking?
Games that are either coming out soon or are already out that we've found, but we don't think we should talk about in a news section and therefore are putting it into this episode instead so that we can talk about them and say if we're excited or not.
You know, I'm usually the verbose one. We have slipped into the Twilight Zone. So, want to talk about some Twilight Zone feedback?
Yes.
We got a fantastic email from Ellen, who says hi.
Feel free to correct us if it's not Ellen, if it's like Elin or Eileen or something like that, because I'm presuming you're Swedish based on your email address.
If your name is not Ellen, please let me know, because I don't know. I like to get names right, if nothing else. I'm very flexible on pronunciation in language, but names in particular, I care a lot about. So if I ever say any name wrong, please tell. Anyway, more importantly, you sent a lovely email with some lovely compliments and a couple of fun questions. Do we want to answer the fun questions?
Yeah.
Yeah. I know how to breathe. So they sent in two questions. The first one is, what is the most visually pretty game we've played?
Which specifically played, I guess, does change the question, because if it wasn't played, then probably my answer would be different.
Well,
but I can't choose Summer in Mara because I've not played it yet.
Yeah. If we could do games we hadn't played, I would probably choose Ooblets. I love the aesthetic of Ooblets. Alas, I have played that. I have not played that either. So what are our actual answers?
Yeah, that's a harder one, I guess. I feel like My Time at Portia does a good job at looking good. And certainly being visually pleasing. I guess I'm less enthusiastic to say that as the option because I don't really enjoy playing it. But if it's just about visually pleasing, beautiful farming games, then I feel like probably My Time at Portia.
Yeah, Portia's pretty pretty. I'm surprised you didn't answer something like Stardew Valley.
Well,
oh.
Okay, so I think the problem is we've got to try and figure out what we mean by...
It's an aesthetic thing. There's no meaning. It's just, do you aesthetically like it?
Yeah, I mean, I do love Stardew, and I will always love Stardew, and there's something really nice and enjoyable about its graphics. But it doesn't really feel like something I would call the most visually pleasing game. I don't know. I mean, it's nice, and it's not like the graphics are bad or anything like that. I feel like it's not the most visually pleasing, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Which is fine, because that's not what I'm looking for in that game, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's fine. It's just your opinion and preferences. You're not going to be wrong no matter what you do.
What about you?
Because see, here's the thing. If you're just talking about the world, My Time at Portia is pretty pretty. It's real pretty. Very specifically, the mouths of the humans freaks me out.
Yeah, I think not just the mouths, but I think there's a lot about the design of the humans in Portia, which is just a bit weird.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, I'm pretty flexible with a lot of, cartoony designs of characters, and I feel like the humans are kind of very cartoony designed. The mouths really freak me out, though. Really, really freak me out. I don't know. Trio of Towns was really pretty. It felt, very nice and smooth, especially for the 3DS. Stardew was really pretty. All three of those were pretty in different ways. That's my answer. And then the second question is related, but not quite the same. What's your favorite, item art in each of the games you've talked about?
Now, this I think is more difficult, right? Because, you have to point out very detailed things here. So I think one of the things I really love is in Trio of Towns, I feel like they put a lot of detail into all of the marriage items.
Mm-hmm.
The feather and the whatever the other ones were. I can't remember. It's been too long.
A ring and a comb.
Yes. I think they put a lot of detail into them, and that's really pleasing. Just I quite like them.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so this is going to be a little bit of an emotional answer, but hear me out for this one. So, I really like the character portraits in Stardew Valley. And I think that part of it is that, if you go on the Stardew Valley wiki, for a lot of the characters, you can actually, see the development of them. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? So, you can kind of see, the first and second and fifth and tenth draft of, Maru or whoever. And I think just, looking at those really kind of, gave me, this sort of, sense of attachment to the art itself. I know people don't count as an item, but I'm going to go with that. I'm going to go with that because you stole the good answer, so. I hope that answered your question acceptably. I'm not going to go through every single game we've ever done and tell you my favorite item art from every single one. Sorry. No, my favorite one is, forget everything I just said. My favorite is the really, really weird statues that you dig up from the archaeological dig in A Wonderful Life. That just looks so strange and creepy, and that's my answer. I hope you enjoyed that. If not, feel free to let us know. Email us. If you have any more random questions about art and visuals or anything else, hit us up. Email us.
We welcome all questions.
Yeah, I love questions. They're pretty fun. You can email us at the website, harvestseason.club. Thanks for your email. Yeah. So, Al.
That's me.
What have you been playing recently?
Well, Rochelle, I have no memories before Friday because since then I've just been playing Link's Awakening.
Yeah?
And that's all that exists for me right now, I think.
Oh, I see.
It's a good game.
Yeah? I have never played it, so.
I like it. It's fun.
Is it more or less fun than Majora's Mask?
I couldn't tell you.
Oh, right, because you won't play it. Because you hate me.
I told you I would play it when the Switch port comes out.
Do you know how big of a deal it was when it had, a 3DS remake?
Yes.
Okay, well, just that. You literally can't remember anything else? Have you played any Zombies Run?
No, I haven't actually.
That's
okay.
I've
been really bad on that.
I'm just going to quietly judge you. That's fine.
I tried my time at Portia again.
Yeah, tried being the keyword there.
Yeah, it really is the keyword.
You want to hear something interesting?
Go for it.
I was playing my time at Portia not even an hour ago. By not even, I mean actually maybe about an hour ago.
I thought you were sleeping an hour ago, Rochelle.
An hour and 5 minutes ago, I was playing my time at Portia, and an hour ago, I was trying to pretend to take a nap. So, true story. I played a couple hours of Portia today. Let's see, what else have I played? I've played Zombies Run. I am extraordinarily distressed as of not the last couple episodes for the listeners hearing this, but the last couple episodes for me of us recording. My distress is through the roof. I am having a really hard time in season 8. It's really rough. Let's see. I played the entirety of Cooking Mama 4, Kitchen Magic. That was fun. In case anyone is wondering, I highly recommend the Cooking Mama series.
It's a classic.
That's good stuff, man. I really, really unapologetically love Cooking Mama. I don't know. I haven't really played a lot of anything the past week or so. So it's like I finished Cooking Mama and then I did nothing for a week. And then I played My Time at Portia for 2.5 hours today instead of sleeping. So that's all I got.
Nice.
Farming games.
Woo.
You ready for some news?
Let's do it. The news. It's the best time of the episode.
Everyone's favorite section, because we are, of course, the only...
A farming game news podcast.
Yes, the only aggregator of news of farming games in the world. Your sole reliable... We're not. We're not a reliable source. Anyway, yeah, Harvest Moon.
Look, I spend hours collating this stuff, right?
Yeah.
I like to think of it as reliable.
I mean, we're reliable. We're just not timely. I think that's more what I'm getting at.
Oh, that's fair. Having said that, I don't think it's really important that people know right now that something's going to be released in 6 months' time.
I mean, you're not wrong. So let's talk about some news. First up on the docket, we have Harvest Moon Mad Dash. This is going to release, as in you can buy it and play it, on the 29th of October.
That is a month away.
That
is less than a month away as of listening to this episode.
That is in October. Yeah. So, in case you didn't know, this game looks to be kind of like a little puzzle game.
It's like farming Overcooked.
Sure. Yeah, that's a game I know and have played.
Have you not played Overcooked?
I have not. You don't get to be disappointed in me for not playing a game.
Well, I haven't played it either, but I know what it is, so.
I mean, I'm vaguely aware of Overcooked.
The listeners will understand.
Okay, sorry.
It's like time-based challenges for farming things.
And you're like moving little pieces around and putting them together to make big things. And anyway, we're going to link to a trailer in the show notes. I don't have the mental capabilities to explain Harvest Moon Mad Dash right now. So that's a little game coming out, I think, on the PlayStation something and on the Switch. I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure. A-plus reporting, the most reliable source of news.
Yeah.
What else do we got? On the Harvest Moon / Story of Seasons kind of category, while we're at it, we've got Rune Factory 4. Whoa, okay. Rune Factory 4 Archival Edition. I think this is just a special box set edition. I don't know why it's called Archival Edition.
I mean, I really don't know. but yeah, it's just a special limited edition thing.
Like, It comes with a game and a soundtrack and an art book and a swimsuit DLC. If that's your jam.
Yeah, it's a DLC that puts everybody in swimsuits.
So, yeah.
I mean, because why not? Because Japan.
That's up for pre-order now. I don't know how many buckaroonies it's for.
Oh, if you have to ask. It's too many.
I mean, all the buckaroonies are my are too many for me.
Oh, I got it. It's on xseedgames.com. And it is $60.
Oh.
$60-y-doos.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, then how much is the non-archival edition?
$40.
Oh. I was expecting it to just be a 60 base price. I mean, I think 40 is more reasonable. Well, there we go. Scale up. Oh my gosh. Sorry. I'm just remembering that time I played Rune Factory 4. I was like, wow, I'm just going to look at the pictures for this on the website. And it's just one of the screenshots has like, you're farming, and it has this little icon above your character that says skill up, which I know by heart. You do that every time you up your level in a skill. It just yells at you that you upped your skill level, and you just continue going. Anyway, nice. So pre-order that for your 60 Earth Buckaroonies. Enjoy.
Yeah. If that's your thing. I will not be, because I feel like you have to have some sort of, you know, attachment to the game to buy something like that.
You know, I'm always complaining that we never get, like, art books and cool pre-order bonus stuff with games in the U.S. I think this is the first time I have had, like, an art book thing available to me. And I genuinely do not care. I just feel like such a hypocrite. Anyway, if you're into art books and swimsuits, there you go. You can pre-order it. 60 Earth dollars. Do your thing.
Feels like a very small overlap in the Venn diagram, to be honest.
I mean, you don't know. You don't know how many of our listeners are into swimsuits.
Let us know if you're going to buy the archival edition, and the main reason is the swimsuit DLC.
Tweet at us, at THSPod.
Hashtag swimsuits.
We've got some new...
Hashtag swimsuits for all.
Please don't use that. Please don't use that. Please don't. Please. Don't do this. I just put my swimsuit away because it's cold now.
I mean, you have inside swimming pools, right? Is that a thing in America?
Yes, it is. Okay, so we've got some new trailers. We have some new trailers for games that have come out. If you like watching trailers, both of these are better than the Rune Factory 4 trailer. So we have Stranded Sails, the game where you shipwreck on an island and have to farm and stuff to survive and stuff. That's an exciting minute and 13 time of your life you can spend watching a little animated trailer. There's also one for Snacko, which is a minute and 10 seconds. I don't know what it is about this just barely over a minute thing that's working out real well for trailers, but there you go. These are good trailers. They're cute. Go watch them. Get a sense of these games. They're coming up soon. See if you want to buy them. Have I told you how excited I am for Snacko?
Yes.
Oh, it's just so cute. But
No, I was just going to say, but that doesn't mean you don't have to again, but then you just went on anyway, so it was pointless me saying that.
You're like, well, I can't even stop you. Why even bother? It's just, it's really, talk about, okay, if I had played this game, this would be my answer for the prettiest game. It's just so pretty. I love the aesthetics. I love what they're doing with it. It's good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I know we've talked about it before, but yeah, I like that as well because it's, you know, it's not like it's a style we've never seen before in games, but it's a style we don't really have in farming games, and it's nice to have different things.
Yeah. For those of you who don't remember, Snacko is like, you're a little cute pixel black cat, and it has the aesthetics of like the Paper Mario kind of style where it's like a 3D world and then you're a 2D character. It's really good. It's good stuff. Stranded Sails has graphics. I literally started talking and then was like, I don't even know what I was going to say. So.
Yeah. Stranded Sails, it has.
It has graphics.
It does have graphics, but it's got those kind of graphics where everything is slightly... I think of it kind of like the 3D version of pixelated. It's not pixelated, yes. But it's a lot of, I guess, low polygon count.
Polygons,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but deliberately and not in a, oh, that just looks really cheap sort of way, in a nice way.
Yeah, it's like, it's chosen as an aesthetic design, not as a limitation of the graphics.
Exactly.
It has a very smooth polygon sort of aesthetic.
Yeah. I'm looking at a screenshot from the trailer and it's got a little bush there and it is literally just like a potato with like polygons coming out of it. It's amazing. I love it. You could color it white and it'd just be a sheep.
Perfect. I love it. So those are some trailers. Trailers are exciting. We like to watch things, right?
We do.
Yeah. The secret is that I'm bad at watching things. True story. I've had this conversation like 4 or 5 times in the past like month where people keep going, have you seen this thing? And I'm like, no. The answer is always no. I don't watch anything unless it is suggested to me enough to make me watch it. I am bad at watching things. You know who's probably not bad at watching things?
Me.
You and the people who make the Humble Bundles. Maybe. I don't know anything about them. That was probably an unreasonable guess. I'm sorry. I'm sorry if I've offended you, people who work at Humble Bundle. But
is this the first time we're mentioning Humble Bundle on this podcast?
I think so.
That's exciting.
Yeah. So right now, Humble Bundle has a bundle called the Builder Bundle, the Humble Builder.
Humble Builder Bundle.
I didn't get any sleep. I can't do this. The Humble Builder Bundle. And if you happen to play 10 Buckaroonies, you can get not just 6 random games that I scrolled straight past, but also Staxel, the pixel Minecraft-esque looking farming game. In case you were wondering, 10 Buckaroonies is half as much as you can buy just the game on Steam. So if you would like to save $10 and also get 6 more games that you may or may not play, hit up that Humble Bundle. By the time you hear this, you've got like a weekish left to buy it, so...
Yeah. Get buying.
Do your thing.
And it's pretty cool that it's that Staxel is getting that brand recognition now that it can, you know, front a Humble Bundle.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty impressive. That's
pretty cool. Yeah.
Go Staxel. I was actually just thinking today about how I wanted to play Staxel. And so I opened up Steam and I was like, I have to buy Staxel. And then I played My Time at Portia instead because Payday is on Friday, not on Tuesdays. But if you have some money you've saved from spending only $10 on Staxel, man, this is definitely exactly two in a row that have worked very, very well. Good transitions. Thank you. I'm great at segues. I'm so glad you chose to acknowledge my great segues, Al. Thank you.
They're amazing.
We've got some sales. If you'd like to buy My Time at Portia, for example, it's 30% off on Switch right now and 40% off on PlayStation 4. So do your thing.
Yeah, and we didn't put this in the show notes, I guess, but there has been another update for My Time at Portia on consoles as well.
There has been. Do you think it plays...
Which I presume is ties into that.
Probably. They're probably like, look, we fixed some stuff. Please come back. Do you think it plays better on PlayStation than it does on Switch?
I don't know. I'd heard that there were some similar issues at launch as with the Switch version. Whether or not they've been fixed quicker or not, I don't know. But...
Yeah. I don't know. I just know that today, maybe an hour and a half ago, I was playing My Time at Portia. And of course, My Time at Portia is not compatible with Linux. So I'm playing on my really crappy old Windows computer. And let me tell you, at first I thought I had my fan on because there was something really loud going and I was like, oh, it's probably just my fan. And then I realized, no, it's cold. I turned my fan off. I'm wrapped up in blankets. What's going on here? And so I took off my headphones and I realized it was my poor laptop desperately trying to not die playing My Time at Portia. So hopefully it's at least better than that. This is your story for the day.
Nice. Have you tried the update on Switch recently?
No.
Cool.
Well, the update came in the past week, and I really haven't played any games the past week until an hour and a half ago. So, sorry.
Fair enough. No, that's fine. I've tried it out, and I think it's better, but still not quite there. The loading time, the initial loads are still very long.
Mm-hmm.
The loads after that, so the initial loading up the game is pretty quick now. Loading your save file is still quite long, but that's not dreadful because that's like a one-time thing per, you know, session. And then when you walk out your house, your initial load of the world, that's still very long and very uncomfortable. But after that, it's a lot better. Like, you know, instead of the 10 to 15 seconds when walking in or out your house, after the initial one, it's maybe like 5 seconds. So it's a lot better. It's still not great. It's still a little bit jarring.
But at least it's manageable.
A lot. Exactly, yeah. Because the other big issue was the lag when like chopping trees and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
That is a lot better, but it's still noticeable. But it's not... It's kind of like a one or two frame jump. So you definitely notice it. And if that's something that's really going to get at you, it basically makes it unbearable for you. But if you can deal with that every time, because it's only like the last hit when you run down the health bar of the tree and it breaks the stuff up. It's like that last hit gives you like a one or two frame freeze, essentially, and then back into the game. So it's a lot better than it was, but you know, still not ideal.
Not the most...
But it's definitely improving.
Yeah. It's not the most elegant port to console.
we've ever seen.
But maybe give it a try. If not, I don't know, give it a couple weeks and hear some opinions about it and see how you feel. That's a hint. Wait a couple weeks. Listen to us talk about it and see how you feel.
I don't know what you could be referring to.
We've got a Littlewood update. By the time this comes out, it should already be out.
Let's hope that actually happens this time, because the last time we said that, it got delayed.
Yes, but the developer of Littlewood says he's got that big update going for the tarot. Is it tarot? Like tarot? But it's two T's on the end. So is it like tarot?
No, see, I've got an easy solution to this. I'm just not saying the word. I'm just saying card game.
I'm gonna say it's tarot like carrot. Perfect. The tarot card game. You can't stop me. I'm an agent of chaos.
I'm just going to call it the card game. It's much simpler rather than trying to figure that one out.
Because
it's not like there are multiple card games in the game, right? It's not going to be, oh, which one are you talking? No, it's going to be obvious.
Yeah. So that should be coming out, which is very exciting.
Yeah.
He keeps showing really, really great little gifs on Twitter of the work in progress. It's fantastic. I'm loving it so far. Yeah.
I think there are a lot of other small quality of life updates coming in this as well.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't have a list of them.
We will
get them when it's released on Friday.
We'll let you know next time. Late.
We will.
As you have come to expect your news. what else do we got? Factory Town got an update. They did some improving on their market and happiness systems, correct?
Yeah.
So that's exciting. Make your tiny, tiny white pill people happy. I believe in you. When's the diversity update coming? Factory Town. Woo! And then last but not least, we have the game Flotsam.
Yeah, so if people don't remember this game, this is a game that is, you're basically building a floating city on the ocean out of rubbish that you find. I think it's meant to be post-apocalyptic world. And so you go out gathering things and you bring them back and you build up your floating city.
Yes, and they also have the greatest puns. Available. Official. I love it. They've got me good. Al hates this.
I honestly just ignore it when I read the tweet. Like, I didn't even notice that. It's like my brain has a filter for these things.
How can you not notice it? They did dashes and everything to make the fish part super obvious.
Look, brains can do a lot of things, okay?
Anyway, so official news from Flotsam is that they're going into early access on the 26th of September, which is really soon.
That is very soon.
It's so soon that it'll already be out by the time you hear this. So go check them out. If that's something you're interested in, they're in early access. Check them out.
Yeah.
So that's the news.
Woo. That was a lot of news.
That was a lot of news. Good thing our listeners like news and only news, and that's why they listen to us just for the news. They skip through the rest of it just to hear the news.
You know, when we were planning this about a year ago, I was a little bit worried that we wouldn't have very much news. I'm not worried about that anymore.
Surprise! There's a lot in it. Well, there's a huge boom in the genre right now.
Yeah. It's a good time to have a podcast about them.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of huge booms in the genre, you want to talk about some games that are coming out soon?
Let's do it.
Let's do this thing.
Okay, so we're going to talk about some future games. And when the problem is, it's not all future games. There are a couple of them that are in early access. Although technically, I guess that means they're not fully released. So they are still future games.
I'm going to category that.
Future games.
I'm going to categorize those as future games for sure. Games of the future.
Future games from the future.
See, I'm thinking like, you know, like those old timey where they used to be like sci-fi things where they used to be the adventures in the future. Ooh, you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Yeah. Future games.
Future games.
Let's talk about some future games.
Yeah. So this is the second in the series of future games episodes that we've done. We will link in the show notes to our first one if you've not listened to that. You don't have to listen to that to listen to this. It's not like a continuing story or anything like that.
But if you do want to, I specifically did not put anything on the list for today that we did last time.
Yeah.
Because I thought about it, but y'all don't need an update that I'm still excited for Snacko and Ooblets.
They're still in the future. They're still coming out soon. We're still going to play them when they come out.
You already know it about them. We're going to bring you some more games.
More games. More future games.
Woo!
So, we're going to start off with Kinseed. Kinseed is a game that's in early access now, as we speak. It is on Steam. Sadly, but only Windows.
Only for Windows.
Only for Windows. There might be a theme in this. And in Kinseed, its unique selling point is that everybody in the game ages and dies.
Yes.
Including your pets.
I love death in my games.
Well, we were just talking about this. Was it last episode when we were talking about A Wonderful Life?
Yeah, where you die at the end.
Yeah, and there was the, like, between different years, there are some people grow older and stuff.
Nita dies.
And talking about how we'd like that in an up-to-date game. So here we are. Here's that game.
Yeah. So I believe the whole gimmick of this one is you're playing, like, a family lineage, right? Am I wrong?
Yeah. Yeah, so, yes, something like that. So, I don't really understand what it means, but the description it gives is you've been given the Kinseed, a mystical acorn that grows into a family tree where your choices manifest in its branches.
Oh,
so,
I'm excited
yeah.
to see what that means.
Yeah, I don't know whether it's just a visual representation of your family or whether you can actually do something with it to change things. I don't know. But interesting either way. And I've just noticed something on the Steam page. It says that when you die, you can then become your child and continue your farm. So
yeah.
You actually die and you can become another character, which is quite cool.
Oh my gosh, it's like Rune Factory 2 all over again. But at least this time you die instead of just needlessly abandoning your family without context or notes.
Yay, death.
Yay, death. Yeah, it's got a really... Okay, that was me. That was my brain stopping for a second, not me gearing up to, a backhanded compliment this game. It's got a really interesting, like, pixel art style. Like, it feels a lot more detailed than, like, say, a Stardew Valley. It kind of has, like, a softer, almost fuzzier feel, a lot more detail.
Yeah. Yeah, it's. I think it's simultaneously more detailed and also less detailed. Because the fuzziness, I think, is the interesting thing, right? Things seem to kind of slightly blend together almost.
Yeah.
I quite like it.
I do too. I think it's really nice. I like it. It looks good. I could probably tell you more about it if I chose to play the early access, but I have not because I haven't played anything for a week. But I'm excited about this game. And check it out if you're interested in dying and passing your skills and traits onto your children.
Yeah, it's a pretty cheap game and it looks pretty good.
Yeah.
Next we have Wing Culture, which is Dutch for shop.
Oh my gosh, Shop the Little Shop. I love this. I love when they do silly things like this with names of things, like naming dogs dog and stuff. Like, I don't know, I just think that's great. Okay, sorry, I got really excited for a second there. So, Winkleja, the little shop. Shop the little shop.
Yeah, it's another game. It is also on Steam in early access. And again, only on Windows.
Yeah, par for the course.
What are you going to do? What are you going to do? So this is a game about running a shop, as the name might suggest, in multiple languages.
Mm-hmm. Your character does some good crying in the trailer. It looks really cute. Like, you're building a shop.
You're farming to put things in that shop.
You're selling things in your shop. It's a cute little shop. It's got a very old-timey aesthetic.
Mm.
I was going to say, like, it's not quite medieval. It's a slightly past medieval aesthetic.
That's way more in-depth than I was.
You're like, you could have stopped at old-timey. Like,
it's old.
It's old-timey.
Knights and stuff.
Yeah, it looks really cute. I like that in the trailer you can, like, see people buying things from your shop because they would just walk up to a thing and then it disappears because that's how shopping works. I love it. Yeah. Winkelje.
Yeah, sure. I got Google Translate to talk to me. Winkelje. Feel free to correct me if you're Dutch and I'm butchering it. I apologize.
We're going to talk about Autonaut.
Oh, I've just seen a picture of the cows.
Yeah, do you like
them? Oh, the cows are adorable.
Yeah.
They're so blocky.
I'm not going to lie. I saw this game and honestly, my first thought was like, surely Al would love this.
It's amazing.
It's real cute. So this is also a Steam on Windows game that's going to be released on the 17th of October. And this one is, you're a very cute, kind of like blocky little person, and you land on a planet and you have to start from scratch and build up your planet and make farms and harvest things. But the gimmick is that it's all about automation, which you love.
Ooh.
And how the automation works.
I love
works.
Automation.
You do. That's why you're Al, the automation guy. That's
why they call me McKinney. AI.
beautiful. But the way the automation in this game works is you build little tiny robots to do things for you. And it's really cute. It's got really cute little animals for your farm and just really cute little graphics. It looks good. Autonauts. So if you like automating things and cute graphics, check that out.
It's amazing. I need to get this.
You do. Like, this looks like a very Al game to me.
Oh, there are too many games.
There are a lot of games. I understand.
Yeah, no, I like the look of this game.
Yeah. Speaking of blocky graphics, you want to talk about Mendel's Garden?
Yeah, go on then.
You're like, okay, I guess. this game is on early access for both Windows and Mac, if you have a Mac. Ooh. Right now. And is planning
which, as we know, we both do not.
I do not. Absolutely not. And is planning to release in 2019. We'll see. We're running out of time for that. And this is... So, you know Mendel, right? No? You know Mendel and his peas and his garden? You know
what are you talking about?
I'm talking Mandela? About science. Mendel, like genetics. Like Mendelian genetics.
No.
Okay,
no,
so I guess only one of us interned in a biotech lab right out of high school. Fine.
Yeah. I never did any biology in school.
I wish you could see my face right now.
I tried to do it, but they wouldn't let me because I was doing too many sciences.
Oh. I did like a biotech class in high school and also biology. I never took physics though. So there's that. Anyway, so clearly you don't know about science, so let me teach you.
Teach me science, Rochelle.
Okay, so what's his name? Gregor Mendel, I believe. I'm going to fact check this because I'm going to be real embarrassed if I get this wrong and it's like some ninth grader emails us like, duh, his name was Jeffrey. No, yeah. Gregor Mendel was a human man, and he did things experimenting with cross-pollinization with plants and how, like, the different genetic traits would show, like, how different plants, when they bred together, would create different, would like show different traits in their offspring than the parents and how that works. I can't believe you've never, and you do like the squares with the grids and you plan out like the traits and the dominant and recessive of the traits. I can't believe you've never done this.
You keep saying more things like it's somehow going to remind me of something that I've never learned.
I just like, this baffles me because this is like, just like a baseline fundamental piece of knowledge from my childhood. Like, anyway, so this game is based on that. So you play as Gregor Mendel, I assume. He kind of looks like a wizard in this with like a purple coat and a pointy hat and a white beard. He 100% looks like a wizard. And you plant plants and they cross-pollinate and have different traits that are hidden. So you have to like breed different plants next to each other to get like new different plants and stuff. It looks really neat. It looks kind of like just a very calm, chill game based on some cool, basic high school science. I probably did that in middle school, actually. It looks really good. So
basically you're crossbreeding with plants, essentially, right?
Yeah.
Cool.
That's the game. It looks a lot cooler than I'm making it sound. I'm just a little too shocked by.
So it's like a larger and more full version of that. Was it Pokemon X and Y where you could crossbreed berries?
Yeah, it's like if that was a whole game.
Yeah, but obviously a bit more in depth, presumably, than just that.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, sounds cool.
It looks really cute and really good.
Yeah, it's got a kind of, I guess, Minecraft or Dragon Quest Builders style aesthetic to it.
You know what it kind of reminds me of, actually? It reminds me a little bit of Pan Pan. Have you played Pan Pan?
I have not.
Oh my gosh. So I actually really highly suggest this game. It is a Switch game. Correction. It's just a game. You can buy it on Steam, I guess.
Pan Pan,
like pan, like a pan dash pan,
like as in like you cook in a pan.
Yeah, so it's like a Pan Pan is like a little puzzle game where you are kind of like a little creature in a little ship that crash lands in this world, and you have to get your ship running again. And it's just, the world is like a little puzzle game, and it has like this very particular like sort of like smooth, maybe a degree or two above minimalistic design style that like is really enjoyable and very pleasant to look at. The music in that game is great. The puzzles are fun. I love this game so much.
I tell you what, this game reminds me of, watching the trailer. It reminds me of Monument Valley.
I don't know what that is.
Have you not played that? It's a mobile game I guess is very similar to this. I don't know whether one or the other was inspired from each other, but it looks very similar in style.
It looks a lot like Pan Pan to me. It has very Pan Pan aesthetics. So Mendel's Garden, learn some science. And then if you learned about Gregor Mendel in middle or high school, please tweet at us and tell Al he's wrong.
What wrong about not knowing it?
Exactly, you're wrong. I can't. This is such basic science stuff.
I mean, yeah, but if you never do the course, you never do the course. Look, I can't go back in time.
I don't know. I can't believe you don't know about Mendel and his peas. This is ridiculous. Anyway, so if you remember Gregor Mendel, tweet at us. We're gonna move on though to another plant-based farming game called Garden Story. This one's got a little bit more of an RPG aspect to it. There's something going on in this world, and you gotta figure it out and solve the mystery. But also, yes, also you're a grape. The main character's name is Concord.
Like the plane.
No, like the grape. Concord. Wait. Grapes.
There's a type of grape called Concord.
Oh, oh my gosh.
I presumed it was something to... I thought it was something to do with the plane, all right?
I don't even know what you're talking about.
What, Concord, the supersonic passenger plane?
Oh.
It flew from London to New York.
I can't believe that
But then had to slow down when it got to New York because you can't have supersonic flight over America. Fun fact.
Oh, interesting. I can't believe that your first thought was an airplane and my first thought was grapes.
Look, I'm shocked you haven't heard of Concorde, the plane.
I'm shocked you haven't heard of Gregor Mendel, okay? Like, yeah. This is, we're just learning a lot about each other this episode. It's fine. So you play Concorde the Grape, and you look more
like blueberries than grapes.
Oh my gosh, Al, there are literally grapes. That is like the stereotypical grape.
Okay, I mean, the stereotypical grape in my mind is less of a sphere and more oblong. Live on the other side of the world, right?
Come on. You and your...
Europe. Me and my Europe.
I mean, we'll see. Anyway, so...
we've gone way off the rails here.
Sorry, Ned.
Garden story.
So, you're restoring an old island, you're helping out your neighbors, you're planting gardens and gathering resources and solving a mystery, and
you're a grape.
And you're a grape, and it's, I don't know, this is really cute. Like, all, like, the villager characters and stuff are, like, little frogs and worms and vegetables and fruits, and it's just so cute. I love the aesthetics of this game. It's another, like... borderline pixely aesthetic.
Yeah.
But it looks really cute. Like, this little adventure trying to solve the mystery of the rot sounds fun. Being a tiny grape sounds fun. I'm excited for this game.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks good.
Yeah.
And this is coming out in spring 2020?
I believe so, yes. On Steam for Windows and Mac, I believe.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah.
From what I know as well.
And then these next couple of games... I just kind of tossed on here because they looked kind of interesting for one reason or another. I don't know if I could do these with a straight face. I am not going to make any jokes about this one. It's called Dinkum, which I learned through the internet searches. Actually, Google this time, actually, because my browser updated and redefaulted to Google. So, is apparently slang in Australian for nothing bad. It's fine. which makes a lot of sense because it seems to be a very Australia-based game. So you've got kind of like your little open world. Actually, what I thought was interesting is that it takes place on an island and the island is always randomly generated. And you can do things like farming and raising animals and... building your town and etc. etc. They've got some fun animals in this game. You got like your chickens and cows. Like, there's also like giant wombats and like there's animals out in the wild like alligators and kangaroos and sharks and stuff. It's supposed to be based on Australia. You can tell by reading the game page. They make it aggressively clear. But I thought it looked kind of interesting, even though the people kind of terrify me. The characters, like the player characters in this game, have the most terrifying eyes I think I've ever... Like, if you put the eyes from the people in this with the mouths from the people in Portia, I think it would be truly the most horrifying thing in this world. But I thought that, like, this mechanic of, like, these randomly generated islands and, like, some of, like, the fun stuff of, like, these different animals and the like seemed really interesting, so.
Yeah.
I guess we'll see.
And this game is coming soon, whatever that means.
Coming soon.
And is on Steam for Windows. Well, will be on Steam for Windows, obviously. It isn't yet.
Yeah, eventually. And then, just for funsies, these last couple, I kind of just tossed in, like, why the heck not? This last one definitely feels like the B movie, a B game, the way a B movie is. You know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking about.
But I thought it looked kind of interesting. I will give them credit. It was the only thing I saw as I was browsing through that had a woman of color on their icon. So I'll give them that. So this is called Woman in Science. I'm sorry, you can't see my face. I'm trying really hard. with the O is a Venus sign and the E is a Mars sign because it's about female and male, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I've not read enough. I feel like that's not explained in the description anywhere. Like, it's like, oh yeah, the name is so very clearly based on gender in some way, but they do not mention that anywhere.
Okay, it's like, so here's what I think this is. So the gimmick of this game, it's like a farming game. You farm, you collect resources, you farm, right? Cool. But then also, you talk to a bunch of, like, scientists, like, real-world scientists that are characters in this game. And I think they're trying to get at this gimmick. Like, they seem to, in their descriptions, specifically call out women scientists in particular. So I think they're trying to make this emphasis on, like, women in science, but then they didn't need to capitalize the M and make men a separate word.
Yeah, I feel like there needs to be something clever in it, right? If it's just, oh yeah, there are women in science and let's talk about them and have them in the game, great. That's fine, right? But it's not, the name hints at something more clever than that, right? And I'm also really confused because if it's about women in science, why is there a man on the initial image who's clearly a scientist? And why so many screenshots have other scientific looking men?
Okay. Because here's the thing. They already hit their quota with the woman of color on the icon. And just to make sure no one is truly frightened by that, they have to put a white man next to her.
I want it to be interesting. I want it to be clever. There's obviously nothing wrong with here's a game that focuses on amazing women in science over the years, right? That's obviously a good thing. But they've pulled me in with this name. This name implies there's something more clever. The way they've designed this implies there's something else happening in here, and I want to know what it is. But well, I feel like there's going to be nothing.
Maybe there is. We don't know because it's not planned to release until December 2019. I will give them credit. They are going to release on Windows and Mac and Linux. That's exciting.
The only game we've talked about today that's on all three.
Yeah, but the whole gimmick of this is that, like, you meet scientists and you learn, like, science stuff, like actual science stuff, apparently. I'm sure it's at a very basic level. But then, like, in your farming, you can kind of like develop skills to do things that are like very sciencey, like hydroponics and fancy methods of cooking and permaculture and stuff like that. And for the automation, you love automation. You can build these little drones to do things for you.
I do like automation.
You do. So I don't know. It doesn't. Like, there's some weird things about it that are, like, kind of red flaggy, I guess. Like, the title is weird, and, like, it's weird that, like, even in their trailer, like, the graphic style changes from one scene to the next. But they have some interesting ideas. I guess we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, so I having a look at their website, it looks like there are a games company, but not just video games. They do... Well, I say not just video games. They have one video game and one card game, and they're both based around talking about women in science and, you know, encouraging women into STEM and stuff like that, which is obviously really good. And I think that's a really important thing. But it doesn't really encourage me that it's going to be a really good game. I'm a little bit worried that it's going to be, you know, hastily put together and stuff like that. But I guess we'll see.
I 100% expect this to be like a B game. For sure. Yeah. But I thought it had an interesting enough gimmick to be like, okay, well, let's look at this. So.
Yeah. Well, we're all for interesting gimmicks.
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out what this card game is. Because it specifically says it's a game, but the cards don't... Oh, right. Okay, it's playing cards, I think. Just with women in science on them. So each of them is just like a normal playing card. Like a three of clubs or whatever.
Yeah. Okay. Those are some games that are coming out in the future. Games of the future of varying qualities and degrees. if you're interested, if you have any thoughts, if you think we should have covered something better than whoa men in science, you can let us know. You can email us at our website, harvestseason.club. You can tweet at us at THSpod on Twitter. Al, where can they find you?
They can find me at TheScottBot on Twitter. That's a T, one T on Scott, one on Bot, and one at the beginning of The.
Perfect. If you want to talk to me about the most horrifying game trailers you've ever seen in your life, you can tweet at me at Miss Delaney with two L's in Delaney. And until next time, have a good harvest. Woo!
Woo!
The Harvest Season is created by Rochelle Delaney and Al McKinley. Our art is done by Micah the Brave, and our music is done by Nick Burgess. Feel free to visit our website, theharvestseason.club, for show notes, including links to things we discussed, and transcripts for every episode. Thanks for listening!
Rochelle.
Yeah?
Before we do the last one.
Yeah?
I found out something.
Yeah?
Go to the link I just sent you and look at the location.
Oh my gosh.
I know.
It was like triple made for you.
Autonauts is made in Scotland. I don't know what to do with this information.
Be excited.